Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in John chapter 3. John, the third chapter, and verse 19. John chapter 3 and verse 19. Jesus says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." But once again, a pleasant good morning to you. We are so very appreciative of you and your attendance here today. For those who are visiting, I want you to know, in our auditorium, you're a welcome, honored guest. We'd love to see you any chance that you may have to make a return visit our way. We'd like to extend the same invitation, those listening by way of radio, for you to come join us, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road. That's the address here for the Arlington Church of Christ. Two guys were out at a restaurant enjoying a meal, and this was a restaurant that was so busy on Friday nights, they would have a local magician come and do tricks around the tables to entertain people. And so he came by this one table and did just this amazing card trick, made a whole deck vanish and appear again two or three times different ways. And before he left, one of the men said to the old magician, "Could you tell me how you did that?" And the magician said, "No, I couldn't tell you how I did that. If I told you how I did that, I'd have to kidnap you and take you away." The other boy said, "Would you tell my mother-in-law?" Glad to have you here. If you were, I mentioned in the other sermon, if you're like me and losing a battle to ragweed, you were in my prayers as well, but we will get through this. Appreciate you being here. If you hear me clear my throat a little extra, that's kind of what's going on. We have a very serious topic before us today, simply titled, "Reasons Why Some Don't Obey the Gospel." And I just want to start out with a simple question, really, that even I don't understand at times, is why don't all people just obey the gospel? Right? Jesus Christ, He didn't just die for one group of people, one continent of people, one gender of people. He died for all of mankind. So why then doesn't everyone just immediately, upon realizing right from wrong, what we call reaching the age of accountability, why doesn't everyone then just obey the gospel? It's difficult to understand, very difficult to grapple with and wrestle with. But you got to realize, some people, they do not obey because they don't know. That's one thing. It's our job then to teach them. But there are people who know what to do. There are people who know the great blessings on earth that exist for the Christian, and who know the great blessings that await the faithful one that dies in the Lord. And yet it's still mind-boggling and baffling why people will hear the gospel and they might even believe it. They might even be willing to repent of their sins. They might even be willing to confess Jesus Christ, but they won't be baptized. And Jesus said, "Repent and be baptized," Mark 16:16, "for the remission of your sins." There are a couple of goals I have with our lesson today, and I hope you understand that everything that is said is spoken from the heart, and it's the truth. But I'm trying to speak the truth in love, because I am concerned about everyone's soul that has an opportunity to hear this message. And I hope, we've got six reasons, and they're not laborious at all. And as I go through them, you'll go, "Well, I could have told you that." And that's kind of maybe the end goal of this lesson. But I hope it serves two facets. One, maybe you are talking with someone in your life who will not obey the gospel. And you have encouraged and encouraged and encouraged. Maybe one of these or multiples of these can help you find a way in to encourage them. But secondly, there are people within the sound of my voice that need to obey the gospel. And so I hope with saying some of the things in this lesson, and I've prayed over this lesson, and I pray it is taken in a right mindset. I hope you understand that at the start, that something will be said that will encourage you to leave the paths of sin, to leave a worldly life and obey the gospel. Because there's nothing more than, as we sing our invitation song, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" I didn't ask Gary to do that, but I want you to think about that song the whole time. Is thy heart right with God? And if it's not, when we sing the invitation song, I want you to make it right, okay? So some reasons people won't obey the gospel. I've called them hindrances, if you will. Number one, some people will not obey the gospel because of the love of sin, or maybe even the love for sin, if you will. Many people are not willing to give up the sin. And what is that sin? There is usually one sin, the Hebrew writer says, that does so easily beset us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Laying aside that sin which does so easily beset us. There are people who don't want to give up that one sin that they love so much for Christ. Whether that's pornography, whether that's forsaking the assembly, whether that's gambling, whether that's alcohol, or whatever other sin, an adulterous relationship, whatever the case may be. People don't want to give up the sin because they love the sin too much to be willing to do what God has said. I've got two verses on this, then we'll move on. See, I told you, they're not long points at all. And our first one you already had, hopefully, in John chapter 3 in verse 19. Notice what Jesus says. A love of sin, do what, Jesus? This is the condemnation. Light is come into the world. See, Jesus is the light. John's already alluded to that in John chapter 1. Jesus himself will say it in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Although I haven't done a recent poll lately because I don't watch the evening news, because all they do is tell you bad things. They'll tell you good evening, and then they'll try to give you 30 minutes worth of proof why it's not a good evening. I just turn it off. But you go and see how many times stores are robbed, banks are robbed, people's houses are robbed, people are murdered. All these things, more times than not, they happen at night because they like hiding. You can hide in the shadows a whole lot easier you can in the day. Well, spiritually speaking, people like walking around in darkness, apparently. I don't. I don't like walking around in the dark. I like to see where I am going. Jesus said it true 2,000 years ago, still true to this very day. Men love darkness rather than light, so they reject the light of the world. That's Jesus. Go back to Mark. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Mark chapter 8 and 36. Notice what Jesus says, and we're going to read really 36 and 37. People don't obey the gospel because of a love of sin. Jesus asked a question, two really, and they're both rhetorical. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit if you were the most successful businessman, had all the money in the world, had all the possessions in the world, had any wife you wanted, or any husband that you wanted, and you lose your own soul? Well, take advice from a man who had all the money in the world and had more wives than he ever should have had, and he was a king, Solomon. The whole book of Ecclesiastes, he says, I've been there, I've done that, and I've had that, and it's all useless if you don't have God. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, see, now we ask that question this side of eternity, and we know the answer, right? You shouldn't miss heaven. But on the other side, on that day of judgment, so many people are going to try to bargain and plead with God. Well, can I give you this? Can I give you that? No. There, it's going to be too late. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to think about this next question. Pay attention, if you will. In your life, what particular sin is in your life that is worth missing out on eternal life? I won't make you show of hands. I won't even make you come up to the microphone and say it, because the answer is there's not one. That love of alcohol, there's no reason that should keep you from heaven. You should give that up. That lust, that addiction, whatever. Don't get off in the weeds on calling what it is. Any sin, there is nothing on earth that is worth missing heaven for. Number one, some people don't obey the gospel because they love sin too much. Number two, some people don't obey the gospel because they don't see a need for the Savior. They don't see a need. They don't see themselves as lost. That's our problem, dear friends. The world, by and large, does not see themselves as lost. They think, well, I'm a good person. I do good things every now and then, and I try to give to charitable causes when I should. I pray every now and then. I think about Jesus a couple of times a year when the world makes me do so. But people don't obey the gospel because they don't think they're lost. Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Turn over there with me. You probably heard this quoted before. If not, I'm going to read it for you now. And then you can say you have. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the last verse of this chapter where Paul is talking about how you can't become a Christian then continue sinning just because you can get forgiven. If you're doing that, you miss the boat. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about that. Wages. What are wages? When you go work somewhere, they give you your wages. If you work a life filled with sin, all it's going to pay you on the return is death. He's using banking terms. What's your return? Wages of sin is death, eternal separation between God and man. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that tells me a couple of things. One, I don't need to try to work a sinful life. And number two, I can't work enough to earn my own salvation, right? It's a gift. Some translations will render that as a free gift, which is an oxymoronic statement because every gift to you is free. But it is a gift that God gave you. Dear friends, some people don't obey the gospel because they don't see a need for a Savior. But I'm here to tell you, and if you want to amen on this, you can. The lost need a Savior. Thank you. You don't have to, but I'm just saying. That's a true statement. Everybody in this world needs a Savior. Whether you think you're lost or not, and I'm going to tell you now, 1 John 1 and 7, he's the only Savior we've got. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with the Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Not the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, or this, or this, or that. He gives me one option to have my sins cleansed. And that's obedience and then faithful walking behind the Savior. Obedience to the Savior and faithfully walking behind Him. Number two, people don't obey the gospel because they don't think they need a Savior. I'm going to pop your bubble here. No matter how good of a person you think you are without Christ, you're nothing. You're a sinful person. Even if you're the best person on the face of the earth, you're still a sinful person. Because I am too. I'm in your crowd. It's not just me versus you. We're all in this together. But thanks be to God, Jesus died and gives that free gift of salvation, number two. Number three, why do some people not obey the gospel? They have a fear of being ridiculed. There are people who have a fear of being ridiculed because other people in their family aren't Christians. Other people in their family don't go to the same church they do. Other people in the family, they died not knowing the truth. Other people at work, let's leave the home. Other people at work, well, they think that's ridiculous. That's preposterous. Dear friends, I'm here to tell you the opinion of the world, the opinion of your peers, and the opinion of your family is not the deciding mark of whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell. But it's your obedience to the gospel. Go with me to Luke chapter 9, if you will. Luke chapter 9. You know, the Bible tells a couple of stories of people who, especially the rulers of the people, they did not obey the gospel because they were afraid of what others might think. They were afraid and they did not want to do the right thing because maybe that would change their status, socially speaking. Notice what Jesus says. A similar passage to what we were reading in Mark a moment ago. For whosoever, 9 and 26, shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, even when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know what Jesus is saying? If you're ashamed of me, You don't want to obey the gospel. You're ashamed of me on that day of judgment. However you want to picture that. I keep wrestling in my mind what's the best depiction of judgment. And the one I keep going back to is a courtroom plea, but everybody's lined up in a row. And as it gets to us, and this may not be your opinion, and that's fine. This is just my mental picture. But when it gets down to Justin Reed, because he's going to go alphabetically, of course, right? When it gets to the R's, comma, Justin D. Reed, and it gets to me, he's going to say, I know Justin, because Justin confessed me before men, and he was willing to stand up for my name. But he's going to get to John Doe, so I don't pick any on any names. And they're going to say, I love you, Jesus. And he's going to say, God, I don't see, he's our mediator. God, I don't know who they are. They didn't confess me. They were ashamed of me. I have no idea who they are. And I can think of few worse phrases than to hear Jesus say, I don't know you. Some people are afraid of being ridiculed. Rather than stand with Jesus now against the ridiculed, or against those who be ridiculed, they would rather spend all of eternity with those who are ridiculing them. I don't want to be with the naysayers when Jesus comes back. I don't want to spend an eternity separated from God where I have no hope of ever changing my eternal situation. Don't be afraid of ridicule. I have heard of stories, you name it, I've probably heard of somebody who obeyed the gospel and they got kicked out of the house. They got this, they got that. But Jesus says, whatever you give up for me is going to be worth it in the long run. And I believe that with every ounce of my being. If you're afraid of being ridiculed, I guarantee you there is no one in the four walls of this building that's a member of the Church of Christ here at Arlington is going to ridicule you for making the most important decision of your life. And if they dare say anything about that to you, you just tell them to come see me. And we'll put a stop to that right now. There is nothing to be afraid of or ashamed of in obeying the gospel. That's number three. Number four, why don't some people obey the gospel? It's because of inconsistencies. I get this one a lot, especially from people in the world. Because of inconsistencies. Some people are turned away because, as they put it, there are hypocrites in the church, and those hypocrites are trying to tell me how to live. Okay? You've probably heard that, maybe something along to that. It's but just a bunch of hypocrites up there. I'm here to tell you now, we're human. I'm no better than anybody else. Gary's no better than anybody else. We all make mistakes. We all fall into that, all have sinned. If all, then I, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, no one's perfect, Romans 3:23. Well, there was one perfect person. His name was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He lived about 30 years and then he started a ministry. And he called 12 people to be his apostles and he preached for about 3 years. And everywhere he went, people wanted to kill him, and he did miracles and did no sin, 1 Peter 2:21 and following. Neither was any guile found in his mouth, and he was so perfect that the imperfect world couldn't handle him. And they hung him on a tree, and he hung there for 6 hours, suspended between heaven and earth. And he died for you, and he died for me. So some people say, well, I'm not going to go to the church because there's a whole bunch of sinners up at church. We're human. But I tell you this, the church is not a museum for the saints. We're a hospital for the sinner. We don't elevate up any one person. We don't put them on a pedestal with a little plaque and a little audio card and you can hear about the tour of the saint. No, that's not what we do. Jesus is the great physician. He said, I came not to heal the healthy, for the well don't need a physician. I came to heal the sick. And we heal the sick at church, spiritually speaking, of course, the sin-sick soul, by washing them in the blood of in the water of regeneration, the blood of Christ. And then they continue to live following his daily dosing prescription of living in his word. And that's how you cure your sick disease, or your sin disease. Don't let some inconsistencies get you down. Because if you go back to God and his word, there's nothing inconsistent about it at all. Humans are imperfect. But God's word is perfect. Some people won't obey the gospel because of hypocrites, which I guess is kind of a hypocritical statement for them to make, isn't it? I'd say, well, you'd fit right in then. Number five, why don't some people obey the gospel? This one hurts me. This one really bothers me a lot. Some people don't obey the gospel because they say something to the effect of, my sins are too bad to forgive. Or, there is just no way. If they knew what I had done, nobody could forgive me. Go with me to the book of John. John chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6 and 37. Notice what Jesus says. All that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to turn anyone away that wants to come to me. I won't get into it in our time allotted today, but I could share with you stories of fellow preacher friends I have. One of them I have is in Alabama. And about a decade ago, he was serving a very lengthy prison sentence for being a leader in a drug cartel. And his dad's a preacher too. And now the son is a very good gospel speaker, especially at youth events. He turned his life around. And you can see it in his eyes when he preaches that he's not going back there. I know other people who have overcome difficulties and this and that, and Christians who have been dealt a bad hand from the world's perspective that most people would have just tossed the cards in and says, I'm not going to live it anymore. But yet they still come to church. What about this one? If he, that's God. I think about this a lot. If God could forgive Paul, back when he was Saul of Tarsus, right? We're going to learn as we're studying through Acts in our 9 o'clock sermons, through Bible Bowl, that Saul of Tarsus was more or less a hitman for the Sanhedrin Council as he was going into different cities and knocking on doors with authority to, if anyone's a Christian, to take them away, men and women, some to prison and some even to death. And he's the one that holds the coats and basically gives approval to the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, at the end of Acts chapter 7. And yet, Paul talks about how he has been forgiven by God. And if God can forgive Paul, dear friend, hear me out. Whatever sin is in your life, he can forgive you of. People say, oh no, I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, you haven't. The Bible talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's unpardonable sin. And I've always approached it this way. If you are concerned about committing the unpardonable sin, then you probably haven't committed it. It's talking about someone who just will not obey, will not hear, won't even think about God's word. So if you're at least concerned about it, then that tells me that you probably haven't done it. He'll forgive you. That water washes white as snow. Doesn't matter what. Now, of course, you may still have to pay for the consequences on this earth of, you know, if you've broken the law, you may still have to pay those consequences. But God said he's going to forget and remember them against you no more. What better thought is there than that? I'm afraid, though, some people don't obey the gospel because they think their sins are too bad. And I have never encountered a scenario where somebody's sins were too bad that the blood of Jesus Christ couldn't cover their sins. Lastly, some don't obey the gospel because they are postponing the matter. We started to talk about this in our Sunday school class. Some people are postponing the matter. Why? They think they can live another day and then obey. They think, you know, I really need to make my life right. Yeah, but I'm busy today. Give me a little time. Give me a little time. When I get some other things worked out, I'll make my life right before I die. Notice James. Go to the book of James. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James chapter 4 and 14. James strongly warns against this. He begins the thought really in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city. Continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, verse 14, you know not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is like a vapor that appears for a short time, then vanishes away. Does James say it is wrong for me to plan what I'm doing tomorrow? Answer, no. It's not what he's saying. But you need to do everything with the Lord's will. If verse 15, for we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or we will do that. You need to make plans. But when you take God out of your plans, when you say, I will delay my obedience until later, how foolish is that, dear friends? And there are people that I love that have said that. I won't obey, but I'll do it someday. Read the story, I believe it was from Gus Nichols or Guyon Woods, one of the G brothers. And he was saying how a man came up to him and said, brother, whichever one, well, I believe it was Brother Nichols. Brother Nichols, when I get my life straightened out, I will obey the gospel. Don't wait to get your life all straightened out because you'll be sitting in that casket. You as straight as you ever going to be. But it's too late then. You've heard me say it before and I'll say it again. Those people who plan on making an 11 o'clock confession and making their life right die at 10:59. I'm not trying to scare you, dear friends, and I hope you understand that. There's a chance that I don't make it out of this sermon, or that none of us do, because none of us know how much time we have. See, if we knew from the moment that we were born, if we knew, if there was a clock ticking on our lives, and if I knew that on the 5th of January in 20, I'm going to push it way out there, in 2089 I'm going to die. Right? That's going to put me approaching 100. If I knew that, then on the 4th of January in 2089, I could make my life right. And I could just live a wicked life up until then. Now, of course, if I did that and if I somehow pulled that off, I would still have eternal life just like those that were faithful their entire lives. But I don't know the date of my death. To be frank, I don't think I'd want to know. Because then I'd be worried about it the whole time till I died, but that's just me. No one knows when it's their last breath. And too many people delay obedience to the gospel because they want to do it some other time. They think now is not the time. Dear friends, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, for tomorrow may be too late. Don't be postponing the matter. Why don't some obey? I got one more passage I want you to look up, and it's in Luke 14. Go ahead and flip there if you will. Luke 14, we'll get to that in a second. I'm going to tell you now, I just gave you six excuses. When we all make it to the judgment day, because that's a great appointment day that all will keep. Hebrews 9:27, appointed a man wants to die after this comes a judgment. I believe I won't even have scratched the surface on all the excuses that people have made for not obeying the gospel. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 24. For I say unto you, as he's told a parable about the great supper, none of those men which were bidden shall take taste of my supper. These are those that didn't return and come and be with the master or be with Christ in this parable. They were invited to the wedding feast and they turn the invitation down and then they show up and say, let us in. And he says, you can't come in because you turned me away. He's talking about heaven. He's given the great invitation to all to come to his wedding. That's eternity. And people are rejected that invitation here, but they expect to waltz right in. Dear friends, stop putting off your obedience to God. Please stop. Become obedient today. I don't know how I can plead and beg with you anymore. I get down on my hands and knees if that's what it took. Is thy heart right with God? If you're not a Christian, the answer is no. There's no way around that. If you're not a Christian, the answer is no. Knowing right from wrong, of course, you need to become a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Don't delay the matter. There's nothing more. Let me check. There's water in the baptistry. I always want to make sure before I say yes, which means we're ready to do it now if you need to obey the gospel right here and right now. Or if you want to wait till after services and everybody else leaves, we can do it then. But don't delay another day. Is thy heart right with God, dear Christian friend? You better answer yes. But if you're living a wicked, sin-filled life after you're a Christian, your answer is no as well. Sorry to tell you, if you've fallen away, you need to repent of those sins. Do like Simon was told when, in conjunction with that passage in Acts chapter 8, to repent and pray of this thy wickedness. If you're not a Christian, why not become one? If you've fallen away, dear Christian friend, return. And I pray that you take this lesson to heart, and maybe it will help you spiritually speaking, or maybe it will help someone you're trying to talk with. If we can help you in any way at all, we ask you, let it be known now while we stand and while we sing.